Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T. Today's show is pre-recorded.
Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know y'all better act. Hat on, suit on, looking like the dapper dawn. Giving them all. Like a million bucks, things in its cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, yeah. Listening to me. Mm-hmm. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only, Steve Harvey, got a radio show. Uh-huh. Steve Harvey got a radio show. Yeah, man. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Man, God has been good to me. I can't even... I can't even put it into words, man. But I try, though. I try. God does things for me just right on time. He's so cool with it. And I happen to run across Joel Osteen on television, like I often do all the time. And I was sitting there, and he had such a timely message for me. a part of it was something that I've said oftentimes about if you really, really want to be successful, if you really, really want to change, if you really, really want to prosper, if you really, really want to achieve greatness, if you really, really want to have something in life that's worth having, if you really, really want to accomplish your goals, you got to push through all of it. He said that when you get closer to it, the more difficult it becomes. Did you hear me? He said, the closer you get to what it is you want or you need or you have to have or you would love to be, it gets a little bit more difficult when you get closer. He told this story that's in the Bible that I'd never heard before. This is what he said. He said there was a man who was paralyzed, and he had heard that Jesus was speaking at a house. And so he wanted to get there. So he convinced four of his friends to put him on a stretcher and carry him for hours to get to this house where Jesus was speaking. He said that along the way, these friends said that they went along because he has so much faith that if he could just get to him, it could be better. That he could, if he could just get over there and he could see him, that he might have a shot at getting healed. And so he said they took out along the way and they walked and they walked and they walked for hours. And then when they got there, the house was completely filled with people. There was it was packed wall to wall. There was absolutely no way for the men to get him on that stretcher in to see Jesus. This is a story that Joel Osteen said is in the Bible, and we was telling it. No, I'm just repeating the parts of it I gathered. And so he said they sat there and they went, wow, man, we walked all this way and it's full. And we can't get there. He said, and then the guy with the affliction told the four men, if you get up on the roof and cut a hole in it and lower me down, I bet I could see him then, and I bet it'll be all right. Now, he then said, you must imagine how these four men must have felt when you carry somebody for hours on the way they had to carry some cloth connected by a couple of sticks. Said the men's shoulders had to be bruised, had to have deep gouges in them, not cuts, but just indentations where they had carried the weight of this grown man for so many hours. And they looked at him in disbelief, like, man, what are you talking about? We done walked all this far. He said, yeah, but if you get up on that roof and you cut a hole in it and lower me down, I can see him. And when he see me, it'll be all right. After sitting there and imploring the men, they went up and did just that. And in the story that Joel Osteen said, the man was healed. But the point he was making was, he was saying that the closer you get to what it is you really want, the more difficult it's going to become. But you've got to push through. See, if you don't push through, you never know. See, you can't get right to the answer. And because it gets really difficult, start creating those little sayings that we got as people. Well, I guess it wasn't meant to be. I guess it wasn't the Lord's will. No, man, I guess you should not give up right now. I guess you should keep pressing. I guess you should do more. Because, see, in all of us, when you've had enough, I want you to know something. You do have a little bit more. In all of us, you can do one more. You know, that's one of my favorite things, and I heard Joel Osteen say it, and it kind of made me feel good. He said, I always feel like I can do one more anything. And I tell my friends all the time, I can do one more, man. I could do one more day. I can do one more anything. Now, here was the jewel that I never really knew that Joel Osteen and God sent to me. I needed to hear. He said that no matter what you're going through, no matter how long the challenge is you've been facing, God has an end date for it all. Did you hear me? No matter what you're going through, no matter what challenge you're facing, no matter what situation you've gotten yourself into, God has an ending date. All you got to do is keep pressing forward. All you got to do is hang in there. All you got to do is don't give up. All you have to do is don't turn back. There is an end date for all of it. Even when you think you've had enough. And boy, have I had this conversation with God on several things that I've been going through. And I've even told him, look, I got it, man. He said, just keep hanging on. There is an end date to whatever it is you're going through. There's an end date to your illness, your sickness, your tired of being tired. There's an end date to this relationship that you can't seem to get through, beyond, over. That's like a cancer to you. There's an end date, but you've got to hang in there. You've got to keep pushing forward. You cannot turn around. You must not go back, because when God gets you through this and you break through to the other side, the reward and the benefit is far greater than the struggle. I oftentimes look at some of the things that God has brought me through in my worst times. And when he brought me through, I went, wow, man, now that I understand that, now that I'm on the other side and I have the benefit of the reward for it, would you do it all again to get there? Yes, I would.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You know, it's so important to have representation in media. I remember growing up in Chicago, I was heavily influenced by the beautiful voices on the radio. Well, the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. And NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for us to take just a moment, a pause, and tell our Heavenly Father how much we appreciate this chance, this opportunity, this gift that's called the present. Man, oh man, oh man, what a great thing it is to be here. May everybody know somebody they care about that's no longer here. It is a blessing to be here, man. I give thanks and honor to the Most High. Man, oh man, oh man, look at here, the Steve Harvey Morning Show, Shirley Strawberry, Carla Pharrell, Mississippi Monica Jr., and the legend that is Nephew Tommy Jr.
Yes, sir.
Well, what's on your mind, sir?
Let me ask you a question, Uncle. Let me ask you this. You good at this, man. I just understand that you good at discipline. You good at your discipline. How did you learn how to be disciplined in chasing your dream?
It wavers from time to time. Discipline is a learned behavior. You are not born disciplined. Discipline, I believe, is my opinion, is a learned behavior. Is something that you have to practice, and eventually you can get good at it. Mm-hmm. But the number one thing, I didn't know it, but my father introduced me to discipline. And I don't mean in terms of a spanking or nothing like that. But he always taught me that the number one thing a man has to remember, the number one rule of manhood, he taught me and I taught my son, do what you say you gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
If you say you gonna be there, then be there. Excuses does not relieve you of responsibility. So do what you say you're going to do. That was the first thing. And I had to learn that. Take this trash out every Wednesday. And I remember the couple of times that I didn't take the trash out on Wednesday because I laid in my bed. I was 15 years old. I heard my daddy dragging them trash cans down the thing. And he got to go to work, too. My father came up there in my room and sat on my bed. And my father never did that. He sat on my bed and he shook me real soft. And I woke up. I said, yes, sir. He said, you know something? You a sorry rascal. You just a sorry rascal. And I just didn't think I raised none of them. And got up and went to work. And brother, that shattered me. Because for my father, the one man I wanted to be proud of me, told me I was a sorry rascal and got up and went to bed. So I'm going downstairs and I'm shook. And my mama looked at me and said, you hurt your daddy, boy. Because your daddy raised you better than that. And all you got to do is take them trash cans out on Wednesday. Brother, let me tell you something.
Man.
That next Wednesday, I was sitting up so early. Because I got to get down here so I can redeem myself from this to this dude could be proud of me. And that's how I was first introduced to discipline. And I understood that discipline is just simply you doing what you say you're going to do. And discipline is doing what you have to do even when you don't want to. That's the true definition of discipline. And you have to work on that. And you can get good at it. I'm a disciplined person now. I waver sometimes, but not often.
Don't point your parents.
Right. I'm here this morning, ain't I?
All right. Good lesson, Steve. Coming up at 32 minutes after the hour, we will hear from the nephew as he runs that prank back right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
It is time now for the nephew to run that prank back. Nephew, what you got for us today?
You know what? You can ride a lot of bikes around here. You can ride your bike. You can ride a lot of people's bike. You can do a lot of things on bicycles. But what you can't do, what you can't do is steal my auntie's bike. That's what you cannot do. This right here. It cuts me deep. This right here is my auntie's bike. My auntie's bike. I wish you would steal my auntie's bike. Let's go, cat dog. My auntie's bike.
Hello, I'm trying to reach Vaughn.
Yes, Vaughn.
Hey, man, this K-Dub, man. Listen, do you know somebody that live on?
Yeah, my mama stay on. Hey, who is this?
Hey, this K-Dub, man, my auntie, Miss Tinsley, she live on. Now, my auntie say you came over here and stole a bicycle and some other stuff out of her garage.
Okay, hold up. First of all, who is you, man? I stole a bike out of somebody's garage. Who is this? Who is K? I don't know no K-Dub.
This is K-Dub, man. My auntie, Miss Tinsley, live down the street from your mama. And my auntie just got you telling me you the one came over here and took a bike and a toolbox or something out of that garage.
Man, first of all, I don't even know no damn Miss Tinsley. And second of all, I don't steal. Your auntie, Miss Tinsley, say I stole something out of her garage. Put her on the phone, man. Put your auntie on the phone. I ain't stole nothing from nowhere. I ain't got to steal.
She can't talk. My auntie can't talk to you.
Why she can't talk? She say I stole something.
No, my auntie deaf. She sign language me and told me that you the one stole the bike.
Your auntie deaf and she told you, she sign language you and said I stole the bike.
Hold on, wait just a minute.
How you get my number?
Hold on, wait
how
a minute, man.
Number,
she sign language with me now. Hold on.
What the
okay, she say quit all that damn lying. You know damn well you the one that stole the bike.
Hey, man, hold up. So your auntie is cussing me out through you in sign language. That's what you telling me, that I done stole a damn bike. Say, man, first of all, how the hell you even get my number, man?
I got your number from some people that live down the street that say that I asked them for Miss, ain't your mama Miss?
Yeah, Miss, my mama.
Okay, well, look, man, the people down the street evidently knew your number. I told them I needed to talk to you soon as my auntie told me that you was the one that stole the bike out the garage. Now, look, I ain't ain't trying to have no problem.
Can you sign language back to your auntie?
Yeah, I can sign language back to her.
Tell her that I said that I ain't stole no bike. How about that? Tell your auntie I ain't stole no damn bike.
I'm trying to tell her right now. Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. She's saying something. She said your black is lying. And you know damn well you got that bike.
Man, look here, man. You your damn auntie. That street on with nobody on that street except for my mama. I'm a grown man. What the I gotta steal a bike for? No deaf. She must be dumb too. She deaf and dumb. She think I stole something. I don't even know y'all. Who the are you?
My auntie ain't deaf and dumb, dude. Okay, my auntie don't never lie. And if Miss Tinsley say that somebody took something, that dog, she telling the truth. My auntie don't be lying, and just to be lying, why she just gonna lie on you? Why she gonna pick you out?
Man, you know what? I don't know what the going on, but I ain't got no reason to steal no bike. Now I got a car that ain't paid for. I'm a grown man. I'm trying to get custody of my son. So I'm gonna come in somebody's garage and steal a bike. Is you crazy? You crazy as she is, man. Get out my line with that.
Hold on. My auntie talk.
I don't know what she's saying.
Wait a minute, man. I'm trying to see what she's saying. She say that black know damn well he took that bike. And he better bring that damn bike back.
Okay, look at man, I don't know why the you still on my line, man. I ain't took no bike. The dumb ain't his line. Is she even signing
with that right? Hey, dog, let me tell you something. You gonna respect my ain't. You hear me?
Hey, man, you gonna respect me. You call my phone with that. I'm here trying to get my together. You call me some. Hey, who are you? Who the are you? I don't know who this is. I don't know.
I'm K-Dub, man. I'm K-Dub. Everybody know K-Dub.
I ain't never heard of no K-Dub on in my life. My mama been staying on for 15 years. I ain't never heard of no K-Dub. I ain't heard of no Miss Tinsley. I ain't heard about no deaf lady. I ain't seen no bike. Get the off my line, man.
Hey, man, see, you gonna make me go down and steal something out of Miss house if you don't bring that damn bike back.
Oh, you got me. Bring somebody to my mama house if you want to. I'm on my way over there. Bring somebody to my mama house. My family is going to be over for you. The deaf dumb ain't you got. Whoever the down there gave you my number. Everybody, you got me up. We'll blow this up. I'll that street up. You go by my mama house. You better not step in my mama grass. You come by my mama plant. I'm going to you up. You got me up. You going to turn me to the dark side. I'm on my way right now. I don't know. We still on the phone.
Hold on. Wait a minute. What you say? Ain't nobody scared of your.
Ow. That's crazy. Say, tell your deaf auntie to bring her outside. And I bet you she hear them licks I'm going to be putting on your. Yo, I'll beat your. She going to be undeaf today. I bet she get cured when she see me whooping your.
Hey, man. Hey, look, I ain't coming by myself, homie. Tommy going to be there with me. Tommy going to help me whoop your.
Who the is Tommy? Tommy who?
Tommy, man, nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your mama, Miss Vera.
That's that right there, man. My mama know I don't like nobody with him, man. God.
Your mama say, my son love me to death. He don't let nothing. He take care of me. He don't let nothing go wrong with me.
Already.
He don't let nobody mess with me. He said, all you got to do is act like you're going to do something to his mama.
Oh, man. Well, I hope she heard that. I hope she hear me cousin like I did, man. God, I'm in the mirror sweating. I'm mad for real. Don't judge me, man. Tell my mama she wrong for that too, dude. What up, nephew?
What up, baby? You off the chain, boy. You just like me,
man,
boy. You love your mama. I ain't mad at you. Hey, I gotta ask you, man, one more thing. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
Man, without a doubt, man. It's the Steve Harvey Morning Show, man. We'll be there for you, Tommy, man. Without a doubt.
Hey, man, tell Miss Vera I said, hey, all right?
I was going to drop off that little $200. But she wanna play games, though. You know what I'm saying? Your wife be on her now, mom.
All right, nephew. Thank you,
huh?
I guess.
Come on here.
Auntie doesn't even have a bike. All right. Coming up next, Ask the CLO.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour in entertainment news, Amber Rose is shutting down rumors that she's dating Chris Rock. All right. We'll talk about that. The world's top two busiest airports are named just ahead of summer traveling. And the Golden Bachelor and his ex-wife now will appear on Celebrity Family Feud despite their impending divorce. That's all coming up at the top of the hour. But right now, it is time to ask the CLO. Yeah. Mm. 3 months.
Mm-hmm. What? You just saw...
I just saw him on the show.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Just holding hands, wasn't it? Just golden year.
I know. They put them on the show to give older people hope and all of that, but they didn't want to leave their homes and their families.
In different states or something.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it was?
All right. Well, come on, CLO. Here we go. I know. Take that shocked look off your face. We were all
shocked.
That's
why the Lord didn't let me know that this weekend. I couldn't hear well. I'd have said something. Oh, man, I didn't know that.
Wait a minute there. So what did I say? What now? Where you live?
Maybe you could have talked him off the ledge, Steve. All right. Here we go. Felicia in Trenton says, I went on a first date and the guy ordered for me. He said we could share our entrees. I didn't want to do that because we just met. He asked for half of my food and he gave me half of his. Is sharing caring or was he tacky for doing that?
I don't know. I don't know. It could be looked at either way. I think for the first date, he shouldn't have did that. Mm-mm. You know, that's advanced dating. That's damn near marriage, really.
And when you're married, you don't like to share, really.
I'm tired of that.
We do it all the time.
No. Well, you don't have no damn choice.
I know.
Let her stick her fork over there and you say no. You see how that works.
Pull your plate back.
I can't stand that.
We had the same menu. But,
yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure you did, but I don't think he should have did it on the first date. I think you should, you know, let her order what. See if y'all got a connection first. It's just the first date. I don't think that was a cool thing for him to do. Sharing ain't caring. Not necessarily. Because I don't care to share.
Yeah.
So
it's too soon. Yeah. You're right. All right. Moving on to Ted in Indianapolis. Ted says, my wife said her friend is staying with us for the weekend. I didn't know my wife was still her friend after how she treated my brother when they dated. My wife said, I'm holding on to the past. I don't like this chick. Can I refuse to let her stay?
You don't like the way she did your brother.
Yeah, back when they were dating.
Right. Mm. I don't like this chick. Well, let me think about this for a second, bro. Mm-hmm. Obviously, her and the girl was friends.
And your wife.
Mm-hmm. Your wife and this girl were friends. And somehow, your brother started dating your wife's friend. Well, you didn't know they stayed friends, but what do their relationship have to do with your brother and her? See, that boy-girl thing can't always get in the way of the girl thing. And the boy-girl thing can't get in the way of the bruh thing. So I don't think... Now, she's staying at the house. That's going to be a little bit tight for you, but you're just going to have to tighten up.
Because she dogged his brother, obviously, according to him.
Well, your brother did something, too.
Well, just
and even if he didn't, she coming to the house.
just don't have your brother over there this weekend. It'll be all right.
You know.
But he don't want to be acting like he's friendly with the girl.
Well, he ain't got to act friendly now.
But she's in his house.
Oh, just be stank all weekend?
Ooh, yeah, that's crazy.
Can you pass the gravy, please? You can't reach it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's gonna be
you
too much.
My brother to pass
Hey, so what's on TV? Shows.
I see.
Just petty with it. Just petty with it.
You know. Oh, you might visit, but it'd probably be your last one.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. So let her stay there, basically, is what you're saying. Go ahead and let her stay. You don't have
to. Yeah, bro, because you're going to start a war that you don't need to finish. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And just tell your brother, hey, man, my wife's still cool with her. I didn't know that she's staying at the house, just letting you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come through there, have a fine one with you.
Brother's going to be mad at the wife, too.
Oh, yeah, I'll make a stink for you.
All right, moving on. Moving on to Yvonne in Henderson. Yvonne says, my coworker is a great kisser and says that's all he wants from me. I'm fantasizing about having sex with him, but I just got married. Kissing is just as good as sex to me at times. Is he thinking of getting more, or is kissing really enough? So she down at the job.
You ain't got to worry about that. That's a prelude. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the kissing is a prelude. You can believe that. I don't know what you're talking about, dude. I just want to kiss. I don't know no man with that one.
Newly
so you can get ready. Yeah, oh, he want more, just like you want more.
But she just got married, Steve.
Heard that. See, but you know, that's the thing about these questions now. These people, like I said the other day, these people come in here with these abnormal situations in these relationships, and then you want some regular-ass, normal answer. But you know, you done made this letter about kissing. You just flew in, I just got married.
I just got married.
Because kissing to me is just like sex, you know. So is it, do he want, what the hell are you talking about? Do he want? You just got married. You don't hear this? You know, man, but if you look at the strawberry letters and you listen to these CLOs, more and more and more, there is a new normal in this world today.
Yeah.
And the new normal is just, it's crazy. Because it's like, I mean, man, I be listening, but okay, I was around some young people the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some young girls in the room talking. And all of them were going to have their children through, you know, how you get the other lady to have a baby for you.
Oh, what surrogates. They call that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of them was wanting to have a surrogate so they don't mess their body up.
Wow.
I was sitting in the room going, wow. Don't nobody want to have their own child no more so you don't mess your body up? I mean, man, what happened to that? I thought, like, there were women who longed for motherhood and, you know, like the ones on our show. Glad to be a mother and proud of it.
They want to be mothers. They just don't want to carry the baby.
Yeah.
But see, right there, that's to me, everybody, though, so they don't mess up their body.
Mm-hmm.
I thought
the journey was part of it.
Yeah.
But pregnancy
is
we're
living in a different world. We are, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, thank you, CLO. We'll have some entertainment news for you right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
There's a concert coming to town that I just have to see. He's one of my favorite artists. I already have my tickets front row. I bought the tickets months in advance. I'm so excited. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/strawberry. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/strawberry. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/strawberry. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
So have you guys heard the rumors about Amber Rose and Chris Rock? They're reportedly dating after they were seen hanging out in New York. You guys heard that? Anybody?
I ain't heard nothing about it.
Chris Rock is your friend, Steve. Nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Amber a little thick now for Chris.
Maybe he's changing. Maybe he likes
everybody
him like that. The older he
gets.
Well, anyway, Amber Rose
I ain't
set
mad
the
at him.
Yes.
Amber thick though. Woo. Come
on. She set the record straight on Entertainment Tonight. She said that she and Chris Rock are just friends. She said it was not a date. I've been friends with Chris Rock for like 13 years. We met for coffee. We talked some crap to each other. He made me laugh because he's hilarious. And that's our friendship. Just friendship. Amber also pointed out there were no signs of PDA when paparazzi spotted them. She added, quote, it just becomes unfair sometimes. So what do you guys think? They might make a cute couple if they are.
Friends just going out.
Yeah,
that's
what it is. That's all it is. That's all it is.
Yeah. I'm glad.
I can't be seen nowhere having coffee with no damn body.
That's what you betting I did.
That's all I know.
Well, they're both single.
Your old ass home. Yeah. I mean, what's the matter with it?
Yeah.
I can see it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
All right.
Where's the picture of them at? Who has that picture?
Oh, Monica has it. So moving on, summer travel is right around the corner. So let's talk about the number one airport for volume, or the busiest airport in the world. Atlanta Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport was voted the busiest airport again for 2023 with nearly 105 million passengers. But the second busiest airport, this is a big surprise. I want to see if you can guess this one, Steve. The big surprise. Think
well,
world.
Maybe Denver.
Think globally.
Oh, world, Dubai.
Dubai. Absolutely right.
Oh,
I knew
wow.
you could guess it. For the first time ever, Dubai takes the number two spot. Now, this is according to the Airports Council International Rankings for 2023. Dubai served around 87 million passengers last year. Dubai's airport.
I'm going to tell you this, though. That Dubai airport,
mm-hmm.
it's fly.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
It's fly.
They got it in there, man. Yeah. They got it in there.
It is
the
oldest
airport on planet Earth.
Yes.
It is not.
It was number
they
five.
They have a VIP section mm-hmm. in the airport
mm-hmm.
that's just for first class passengers.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
I tell you,
they have their own lane of all designer stores. They got a cigar lounge. Mm-hmm. You can take showers. You can get manicure, whatever you want. It's in there. They got restaurants just in this wing. Yes.
You can go to Dubai and really don't leave the airport. You really can't. You can
just stay, just stay there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I kicked it in Dubai.
It's got everything that we need.
Okay.
Well, anyway.
Cuban cigars.
Dubai was number five in 2022, which means there has been a big growth in that area because it's beautiful. People want to see it. It's beautiful. All right. Steve, do you remember the couple from, and I know you do, from The Golden Bachelor, the first season? Jerry Turner, Teresa Nist.
Yes.
You remember them?
They was just on the show.
Yeah. They filmed an episode of Celebrity Family Feud. Well, they split up just a week after they filmed that episode, and now they're divorcing, Steve. Can you believe that? And they were only married for 3 months.
What did you do at the show to make people leave each other? What did you do, dog?
Oh, it's Steve's fault.
Well, you got folk breaking up at Family Feud.
And you putting them together and Ready to Love, huh?
I got
life is shorter at this point. So.
Wow, that is
life
crazy.
Life is shorter,
though.
So.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there like, you know. Now, let me tell you what they had. They had all of the, let me see how they had five, they had all of the golden bachelorettes on there. Mm. And
Oh, okay.
He missed on a couple of picks.
Yeah, I see that.
So you got contestants on there too as well. Okay.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think he'll have. I think he's gonna go back in that well. Yeah. Hey man, let me tell you something. The black lady on there named Sandra, because I was complimenting how the ladies was dressed nice, they was fly, and I was complimenting them, and I said, man, y'all look wonderful. I say, now, I'm older than all of you. And the women was going there going, Steve, no, you're not.
Yeah, they were.
And this black lady was Steve, no, you're not. You're not. Mm-hmm. This lady, Sandra, was 76 years old.
What?
And
beautiful.
Let me tell you something, man.
It is beautiful.
If this woman had told me she was 58,
20 years younger,
mm-hmm. I'd have went for it. This woman was stunning.
Yeah.
This black lady at 76, up. Sandra, mm-hmm. was stunning.
Yeah, yeah.
Stunning, man.
Yeah. So, they've disappointed.
But the bachelor,
they've disappointed a lot of people.
He's going to go back in that well because there's a couple of them he could have picked. Other
they had to do what's best for them. Yeah,
they lived in different states.
Yeah.
So did they say why they divorced?
Yeah, because they live in separate states and they have families and lives and jobs there. And they did not want to move. They didn't want to move. And leave their families and stuff.
I'm not giving up my front porch now. That's what I'm going to do.
All right.
My front porch.
Coming up in 20 minutes after the hour, your nephew has a question for you, Uncle Steve, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right. Come on, Tommy. You have a question for your uncle.
I got a couple of questions. Yeah, I got a couple of questions. Listen, first and foremost, clothing-wise, how often do you wear clothes before you just don't, you don't wear them no more? You know, how many times you wear your clothes and then you throw with them?
Man, it just depends. I don't wear anything a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. like I like black boots, but I got a lot of pair of black boots. I used to wear stuff till it wore out.
Right.
Like, I got so many black suits, I don't even know. Because, like, you know how you iron black pants, they get shiny on you.
Yeah.
So
The boots ain't my concern. That ain't what I'm talking about. Listen, how many times you think you're going to wear that leopard you had on the other day? I saw that.
That was fly.
I mean, how many more times you think before you don't want that no more? Because that looked like something I really want to put on. That's all I'm saying. That just looks like.
Oh, you talking about that leopard coat and shirt? You can't get that coat.
Well, I can't.
Where
on my show? to the comedy club? I'm wearing that everywhere.
Well, how is you gonna walk in it though?
What do you mean?
I'm gonna hem it.
How long that coat is?
I'm gonna hem it. Don't worry about all that. I'm gonna hem it.
You're gonna hem it.
Okay.
Boy, if you hear that coat, it ain't a coat no more. It'll be a jacket. When the last time you had to hem a damn coat? If I give you that jacket and you hem it, I put it back on, it'll look like a smock.
So are you saying if he put on one of your jackets, it'll be a coat? Is that what you're saying?
I can put on one of your jackets. Yes. I'm going to take a picture of one of your jackets. How about that? Next time I come down there with you.
Oh, let's stop this. How much you weigh right now?
191. And I should be, I'm supposed to be 180 or something. But yeah, 191.
Yeah, you think you're going to
wear it. What's that called?
I'm looking at it on Steve Harvey.
That jacket. On the gram. I got to have that jacket. I ain't going to lie.
That leopard. That blue cheese.
Got to have that.
Yeah.
Well, you can buy it out the store.
And you look slim.
That ain't custom. You can buy it out. I'm down to 218.
You look slim. Okay. I'm happy.
Good job, Steve. Yeah.
That's 30 pounds, man.
Yeah.
I'd have lost 30 pounds.
Yeah, I could really tell it in the left.
You look great. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Listen, we're getting past the question. How many times are you going to wear the jacket? How many more times you think you're going to wear the jacket?
Why don't you see if they make the jacket in your size?
How much was the jacket?
I have no idea at all. I don't
see right there. You got any ballpark what you think it might be?
Tommy, you can't be asking.
Tommy,
that.
I really don't. Dog, if I had, I'd just tell it to you. Probably 13, I don't know.
13 what?
All right.
1300. See, that's why.
Coming up in 34 minutes after the hour, we'll play a round of One Has to Go right after this.
My granddaddy would beat your ass if he'd have found out you bought a jacket for $13,000.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
One of these things has to go. Here we go. The IRS, sex, your savings. One of them has to go.
The IRS.
That's easy.
What?
That was simple.
And man, when can he go?
I think everyone
and respectfully
will
agree. Now. We want to have that with some
yes,
spec on it.
Yes, very, very respectfully.
we don't mean no harm.
Instigate
the IRS, sir or ma'am.
Talking to him crazy. Calm down.
All right, one of these. That is who you talk to crazy. Mm-mm. And no threatening him, none of that. You'll call him no more.
Okay.
No. They at the door.
Yeah.
Bruh, Demaine.
Very powerful. Yes. All right, one has to go. Teeth, perfect eyesight, high metabolism.
Oh, high metabolism. It ain't working now. keep that around, folks.
You work out.
We need them teeth and that perfect eyesight. We need that.
We need to see.
Well, you ain't got perfect eyesight. Well, what is you shooting for?
Why?
Well, you're sitting up in here with glasses on right now. What's?
You can wear these because they're sexy, dog. I wear these because they're sexy, man. Don't do that. You know, that boy, you sure try to avoid this sexy. That's amazing to me how you try to slide past all this sexy.
Wait a minute. Hey, man, I know you can't see this right now on the Zoom, but when you turn sideways. You
I told him to turn forward. Yeah. Didn't
you
say
need
that?
To take a selfie when you turn sideways. I don't think I that. Of that. That right there. Right there. Click. There you go. What you laughing at?
All right. One has to go. Music, movies, stage plays.
Oh.
What? Who would do that?
Mm-hmm. One has to go.
Man, that damn music got to go.
What?
Music?
What?
We're not getting rid of these movies in these stage plays. I'm sorry. I'm telling you
right now. You get rid of them raggedy ass stage plays right now. You can take Rent. You can take
Cats.
Arms Too Short to Box with God. You can take
what?
You didn't like any of that.
Romeo and Juliet. You can take West Side Story.
Hamlet. What?
Man, Hamlet. Get rid of all that. I don't give a damn. You don't let more.
Come on, Steve. Do a line from Hamlet. Come on.
You ain't got no line from Hamlet.
Tommy Mike.
It is bitter to suffer the slings and arrows of defeat. It is more noble and claring to know that there is no one but jeopardized but I. We sit here in the relentless pursuit of happiness and degrity. We hamlify everything and we
hamlify.
I.E. Hamlet.
Oh, God.
All right. Bravo. Moving on. One has to go. Barbecue, pizza, ice cream.
God.
That's a struggle.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Barbecue, pizza, ice cream. Uh-huh. Oh, Lord.
For me, it's going to have to be that pizza.
Pizza?
What?
Yeah. I'm going to let the pizza go. I hate to now.
Ice cream.
No way.
Oh, that ice cream ain't going nowhere.
I can't.
No, ice cream is staying for life.
But you got mad, though.
What? Ain't nobody giving me this ice cream.
Where you at? Come on.
Where are you? Before?
Why are you crying?
Wait, let Junior answer. Where are you,
I said pizza. Pizza.
Pizza? Yeah. No way.
What?
No. What? My name on the ice cream at the house right now.
You label the ice cream
Steve.
So nobody
will
Steve's in turmoil.
Whoa, I'm toe of all
toe.
Of the would you rather's. Nothing has cut me deeper than this one.
One has to go.
Oh, Lord.
This is one,
this
has,
one
first
has
of all,
to go.
Let me make this announcement. Barbecue go no damn where. Let's just take that off the table. The tear that I'm experiencing is between pizza and ice cream. That's the internal tear. I love pizza, man. I love pizza.
I do too. But I love ice cream.
Ice cream, so much joy. Mm. Ice cream is that food you sit down and swing your feet when you eat it.
Yeah.
Ice cream is that food where you turn that spoon upside down and lick it.
It's happiness.
And ice cream is that food drink when you can be in the room with somebody your ass hate and you don't even know they there.
Coming up next, prank phone call with the nephew right after this. Which one, Steve?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at about 4 minutes after the hour, it's my strawberry letter for today. And the subject is, I'm going to take him back every time.
Ooh, it's good.
We'll get into that, talk about that in a few, because right now the nephew is here with today's prank phone call. What you got for us, Neff?
This one right here, you got to put some spec on it right here. I mean, there's different things that you just wouldn't believe people are qualified to do. There's different occupations out there. You would not have an idea that they really qualified. This right here is the blind barber. The blind barber. Listen. There's a lot of folks can cut. You understand? A lot of people can cut. You just don't, you know. Listen, if he can feel his way around, he can do it. You know what I mean? He can edge you up just nice, real nice. Oh, we cutting today. I know you don't see it. I know you don't see what I see, but we cutting today. You understand what I'm saying? You don't see what I see, but I see this being a masterpiece, all right?
You are.
Oh, I do all bald heads. Let me eat. I can handle that.
He said you can do them.
I can do all bald heads. Don't worry about that.
Easy.
Now, them flat tops and them fades, we getting better. We getting better. We getting better. That line. I am the blind barber. Cat dog, if you would.
Very crazy.
The blind barber. Here we go.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm trying to reach up that run the barber. Yeah, you run the barber shop down there, don't you?
I own the barber shop.
Okay, now I'm trying to see if y'all got any booth rentals down there where I can come in there and cut some hair. I've been cutting hair a long time. I want to see if y'all got some room down there. They tell me you might have had some come available.
I got two booths open right now. You need a booth?
Yeah, I'm trying to get in there and get the cut. Now, how much you charge for booth rental on a weekly basis?
That's $200 a week.
$200 a week. That $800 a month, that deal good because just $200. Now, when can I get down there so you can meet me, you know, where you can show me around the shop so I can know what?
I'm open from 8 to 7. That's Tuesday through Saturdays.
All right, because I want to see if I can maybe meet you there so I can get down there and just feel my way around.
Well, come on.
Then what I want to ask you, do you mind doing for me? Do you think you could possibly put up some ramps where you got steps at and your phone? Could you take your mind if you take the phone and put it in Braille for me?
Wait a minute. What the hell I need to put my... Taking ramps out and putting phones in and Braille for what's going on with you?
Well, I'm blind. You know, I'm not gonna let that stop me. You know, I'm still gonna.
Oh no! Hell no, man! Wait a minute, you what?
I'm blind, but I've been cutting my hair for over 10 years, and folks say my haircut always look good. So I didn't figure I'm gonna start cutting hair now.
Oh, well, guess what? You might cut hair, and it might be some good that you do, but just can't cut no hair in my shop, not being blind, Doc. Yeah, but ain't that kind of around my shop, man.
No, what?
I ain't got no problem with that, baby, but you just can't do it down.
Well, wait now. See, this is what they call discrimination. You can't do that. You can't discriminate from people just because they got some type of handicap belongs to them.
Listen, hold on. Let me tell you something, man. I'm not trying to put you out of business, Doc, doing what you need to do, but you just can't do that in my shop, man. I don't care if they call it discrimination, scrimination, scrimination, or what. Not in my shop. You just can't do it, baby.
Listen, now, I know how to cut hair. I know how to give folks a lining and stuff like that. I ain't tried to use no razor, nothing like that.
No, man. Come on, dude. Listen, can't you find something else to get into besides trying to cut hair?
Well, this what I like, though. This what I feel like this my calling.
You just can't do it in my shop. I'm sorry.
Now that's what I don't care to hear something like this here. Now I got the qualifications and I'm able to do it. And I want to be able to come down there. And I told you when I first, what I tell you, I said I wanted to feel my way around. Didn't I say that?
You don't need to feel your way, Doc. I need you to be able to see what you're doing. I mean, I don't care about you being able to cut no hair being blind, Doc. You got to be able to see to do that.
This could probably do wonders for your shop. People will come from miles around to see somebody like myself cutting
the hair, that kind of in my shop. Did you hear what I said?
I heard what you said, but I don't want you to do it make me mad about this. Now,
how you gonna get mad about something that belonged to me? I'm off and you telling me this that you blind. Doc, I can't help you when you blind, man. Come on with that.
Now listen, I'm gonna tell you this here and I'm gonna tell it to you straight. I'm coming down there to that barber shop. I'm gonna fill these booths out and I'm gonna start cutting. Now, one thing I don't want to do is have to get into no tussle with you. Now, I don't want that.
Don't worry about getting in no tussle with me, because if you bring your up in my shop, how much you gonna cut hair? It's gonna be some furniture moving around up in the.
And I'm coming down there and I'm coming down there this evening. Now, one thing you.
Bring your nowhere now. You better keep your. With my shot.
You gonna get your whooped by a blind man is what you gonna do. You ain't gonna see it coming either. You hear me?
Oh, bring your song.
No, as long as I got the money to pay my booth rental.
You don't give a damn. I don't want your money. Your blind can't cut no man. My shot. You understand what I say to you?
I'm understanding what you're saying, and if I got to call the law about you being discriminatory.
Law, you can call any you want to call. That's my. You not gonna do that. You understand what I'm telling you? Now you bring your down there talking about cutting hair in my. You won't. I'll be waiting on you.
I'm coming down there this evening. I'm coming to whoop your. Because you got the nerve to discriminate against me.
I don't know how you got my number in the first. But who gave you my number? You ought not be dialing my. How you even fix your finger to.
They give me this number and say, you is the one that do the hiring round the barbershop.
You don't call my personal number. You call my shop. I don't give you my number.
What difference do that make if I'm some man looking for a job? See,
you don't call my personal phone. Man.
You're going to watch your tone with me. What you going to do?
I ain't going to watch your thing.
Don't
you bring your to my shop.
I tell you one thing, you're gonna watch me get on your this evening.
How you gonna get on my? You can't see me. And I'm about to hang up on your.
I got one more thing I need to say to you.
Thing is that
this is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your cousin.
You know what? I'm gonna whoop that when I get a chance. Man.
You are.
You ain't no good.
Hey, Mr. B, I got to ask you, man, what is the baddest, I'm talking about the baddest, radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Tell you what.
Let the blind barber go to work. I'm just trying to get a booth in there, man, and get the cut. That's all. Come on, let me come on in there and
play
get the
too
cut.
Much.
It's not happening.
You know, it's always at the barbershop, it's always one chair, don't nobody sit in. Did y'all know that?
No, he's always he ready though, but he ain't get no cut.
Oh, he just be sitting there. You get what you need. You need anything? Nah, I'm waiting on Murphy. Don't worry about that. I'm waiting on Murphy. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Anybody need a cut? Nah, we good.
Nah, we good, man.
We good.
He messed somebody's head up.
You know your barber ain't good, Tommy, when you see a barber who got no customers, when he reading the book in the barbershop, that's when you know you can't cut. All this knowledge you got in him.
He's in every conversation.
Yeah.
Or was somebody new to the neighborhood come in and get in that chair? Everybody be sitting in that chair cringing like,
good God.
Catch me Friday, Saturday night, baby. I am headed back to Baltimore, BMO, in the Baltimore, Maryland, at the Comedy Factory Friday and Saturday night. The Nephew is coming back to town. Tickets on sale right now. Yeah, BMO, here I come. You better be more careful. I'm a BMO stupid. Nah.
Yes, you are. That's a guarantee. All right, coming up next, thank you, Nephew. It's my strawberry letter, and the subject is I'm going to take him back every time.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
It is time now for today's Strawberry Letter. And if you need advice on relationships, work, sex, parenting, and more, please submit your Strawberry Letter to steveharveyfm.com and click Submit Strawberry Letter. We could be reading your letter live on the air, just like we're going to read this one right here, right now. And you never know, it could be yours.
It could be yours. Buckle up and hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is. Strawberry Letter.
Thank you, nephew. Subject, I'm going to take him back every time. Okay? Dear Stephen Shirley, I'm almost 60 years old and I've been a live-in girlfriend for over 20 years. When my honey and I started dating, he was fresh off a terrible marriage and I was married to an old man that died on me and left me homeless. I had saved up a lot of money and lost it all taking care of him. When he died, his children took what little money he had. So my current honey and I said we'd never get married, but he'd never leave me like the last one did. He makes sure I have access to everything that's his, and he doesn't have any children, so I'm good on that part. We have a comfortable life, and he loves to travel. I will retire in 5 years, and I had planned to settle on in and cater to my husband, but my honey is up to no good most of the time. Over the years, I've seen things, and a few women have contacted me or approached us while we are out. He has no shame, and one time he told the lady to calm down, don't disrespect me, and he'll call her later. The lady turned around and went back to her car. He's like magic, and I can't get from under his spell. That's what my friends say to me when they come to me, telling me that he's no good. What they don't know is that I'm looking at my future. I will take this man back no matter what he does, because my aunties and grandma told me that a piece of a man is better than no man at all. It may not make sense to other women, but it's how I am with my honey. He's a good man, if I look over his infidelity. He's 64, and I'm hoping he will settle down soon. But I can't lie. I'm afraid someone might take him away from me. Am I going about this the wrong way? Should I leave this man? Yes and yes. Okay, so in the beginning and in the middle of this letter, it didn't sound like you wanted any advice at all. It sounded like you were perfectly fine with how things were. You said no matter what anyone says about him, you'll take this man back. You said your aunties and your grandma told you that a piece of a man is better than no man at all. Sorry, but that's bad advice. That really is. And you said if you ignore his infidelities, he's a good man. Excuse me? What? What? He's cheating on you. That's not a good man. It's not a good man if he's cheating on you, okay? You don't like it. You're unhappy. That's why you're writing, Steve and I. You said he's like magic and you can't get from under his spell, but he's more like poison that you shouldn't be ingesting. He's not respecting you. You said he's up to no good most of the time. You said that. Listen, no one is that good where you just allow them to treat you any old kind of way. So you can't just sit there and take this. You can't. You can't have a fear of losing him to someone else, thinking that someone else is going to take them away from him, take them away from you. It makes you look desperate, okay? It makes you look desperate. I'm sorry. You're a live-in girlfriend for 20 years. Steve?
I'm stuck at the I'm going to take him back every time. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then my question is, okay, so what you want from us? You've already said.
Yeah.
So the little questions you have in the letter, you've already said you're going to take him back every time. So what you want from us? I can't give you self-esteem at 60. I can't make you want more if you don't want more. Well, what you want from us? What you want me to tell you, lady? You settling, this all you want? Look, look, I'm almost 60, and I've been a living girlfriend for over 20 years. Right? What? Okay, what? A living girlfriend for over 20 years. What do you want from me? You just settled. You a girlfriend. You a 60-year-old girlfriend. Who do that? When my honey and I started dating, your honey, that's all you can call him is your honey. You can't call him nothing else. He was married and I was married to an old man that died on me and left me homeless. I saved up a lot of money and I lost it all taking care of him. When he died, his children took what little money he had. So my current honey and I said, we never get married, but he never leave me like the last one did. The last one didn't just leave you. He died, damn it. He didn't just leave you, damn it. He died. The other one gonna die too. He gonna die too. And if he die before you, guess what? He gonna leave you just like the other one did. He makes sure I have access to everything that's his, and he don't have any children, so I'm good on that part. He's 64 and ain't got no kids. What is wrong with this picture? Well, I'm going to show you what's wrong with it when we come back. He don't have no children. We have a comfortable life, and he loves to travel. I'm going to retire in 5 years, and I'm planning on settling down and catering to my honey. Oh, really?
Hang on.
Get to that when we come back.
Yeah. Catering we'll have part two of your response, Steve, coming up at 23 minutes after the hour. Today's Strawberry Letter subject, I'm going to take him back every time. We'll get back into it right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, come on, Steve. Let's recap today's Strawberry Letter. I'm going to take him back every time.
Well, the lady, once you entitled the letter that, my question was, what do you want from us? What you want from us? And then you proceed to tell us that you was married, you almost 60, and you've been a live-in girlfriend for over 20 years. Okay. Ooh. Your standards are low. You don't want nothing, and you don't demand nothing. So now what you want from us? When my honey and I started dating, he was fresh off a terrible marriage, and I was married to an old man that died on me and left me homeless. You had a lot of money, but you lost it all taking care of him. When he died, his children took the little money he had. So my current honey and I said, we'd never get married, but he'd never leave me like the last one did. Once again, let me point out, he did not just leave you.
Say it.
Yeah.
His ass died. That's
so different.
Really different. He left me. No. He said, I mean, he left me hanging. No.
He didn't have a choice.
He died, damn it. And anyway, the other one said he'd never do that one. And to make sure, he makes sure I have access to everything that he has, and he don't have no children, so I'm good on that part. Now, here we go. We have a comfortable life, and he loves to travel. I will retire in 5 years, and I have planned to settle in and cater to my honey. Oh, yeah. Now, that's going to be interesting. Let's say that, because that's going to be my closing line when you retire and cater to your honey. But my honey is up to no good most of the time. Ooh, okay. Here we go. Over the years, I have seen things and a few women have contacted me or approached us while we were out. He has no shame. And one time he told the lady to calm down, don't disrespect me, and he'll call her later. The lady turned around and went back to her car. He's like magic. I can't get from under his spell. Well, let's talk about Magic Mike now. Magic Mike is who I've called the dude in this letter. Now, you have several problems with him, but you seem to think that he's unfaithful to you. And I don't think that's true. I'm going to point this out. That's what my friends say to me when they come to me telling me he's no good. What they don't know is that I'm looking at my future, and I will take this man back no matter what he does, because my aunties and grandma told me that a piece of a man is better than no man at all. I can assure you your grandmama and your aunt ain't got no damn body. I can promise you that. I can promise you that, and have never had one. It may not make sense to other women. That don't make sense to other men. That don't make no sense to me, but it's how I am with my honey. He's a good man if I overlook his infidelity. You so stupid. You know, you just stupid. You done wrote a dumbass letter, and you keep making dumbass statements, and you want us to give you an answer. Well, we can't help your dumbass, because you stupid. He a good man if I overlook his infidelity. He's 64, and I'm hoping he will settle down. So 64, settle down. He ain't settling down. He locked in. This how he is. You just heard he ain't got no kids. You done found a bunch of women. Women come up to him in public. Hey, calm down. You don't disrespect me. Get on out of here. I'll call you later. She go away, and you stay. When he settled down, he doing what he do. He locked in. But I can't lie. I'm afraid someone might take him away from me. They already got him.
Everybody.
What are you talking about? You afraid somebody going to take him from you? You don't have him. They have him. Am I going about this the wrong way? Should I lead this man? No. Listen to me. Stop saying, should I lead this man? Because you just told us you're not going no matter what he do, you're not going to lead him. Because you want a piece of man, and you got a piece of man. Now, you say it's infidelity, which means he's cheating on you.
Yes.
Let me point out something to you. He's not cheating on you. This man isn't cheating on you.
What's he doing?
You are one of the women that he sees. And when they come up to you in public, he tells them to calm down. Don't disrespect me. Get on out of here, and I'll call you later.
Not
and you it. Sit there and go, yeah, get out of our face. He'll call you later. Nah.
Now get
right.
And then you go right back to being his honey. So you see, he's not cheating on you. He's not practicing infidelity. He has a stable of women that you've known about over the years, and you one of them, and you okay with being his honey and his live-in girlfriend. And no, he's not going to settle down because he's locked in. This is what he do. Now, let me help you with this statement you made. In 5 years, you're going to retire and cater to your honey. You're going to cater to your honey. He don't cater to you. You got a 5-year plan that's doomed from the start. He don't cater to you. He's not your man. He's a lot of man's to a lot of women's. See, when you're talking to ignorant people, it's best to talk ignorant. He's
Leave
not your
comments.
Man's because he has a lot of women's.
On today's Strawberry Letter on Instagram at Steve Harvey FM, and check us out on the Strawberry Letter podcast on the free iHeartRadio app, where free never sounded so good. Now, coming up next, it is Junior and Sports Talk right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
It is time now for Junior and Sports Talk. What you got, Junior?
All right, Shirley, the play-in tournament started yesterday, and, you know, the Lakers beat the New Orleans Pelicans 110 to 106. They take the seventh seed. They will take on the Denver Nuggets. It was a close game. Yeah. But you know what, man? Zion Williamson played his behind off, man. 40 points, 11 rebounds, and got hurt in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left, man. He left the game. And then LeBron James doing again almost another triple-double, 23, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists.
He took some charges, man. You know that?
From Zion.
Woo.
Man, did you see the charge he took from Zion Williamson?
No, I didn't see any.
Oh, Man, standing there, boy. That boy, you know, Zion big now. That's like 260 coming down the
That's
lane.
That's a lot
now.
Coming at you. That's a lot coming at you.
But he stood in there, man. But it's not over for the Pelicans. They're going to play the winner, which is the Sacramento Kings on Friday, man, because Golden State is out of the playoffs. They are out, man. Sacramento pulled it off 118-94. Klay Thompson 0-10, 0 points. To help his team, man.
Light skin ain't looking good right now.
No. Hey, you know what, man? It was just turnovers, man. Turnovers was killing the Golden State Warriors. They kept turning it over. You know, like Steph Curry had 4 turnovers. Your boy, man, Draymond Green had about 4 turnovers. The steal.
Prison ball.
They may have to break this up, man. They may break this up.
This might be it, huh?
This might be it, man.
So what you think will happen, though, Jim?
Well, you know, Klay Thompson is a free agent. Then they may trade Draymond. They'll probably keep Steph.
Prison.
they might keep Steph. They're going to probably keep Steph. And they just start rebuilding, man. That's probably what I think will happen.
Do Rikers Island have a team? Because I know
Draymond. Listen.
Okay. No, man, he hurt his team so many times.
That's what I'm
year.
Saying.
Just, bruh, yeah. Just play basketball. What is, I mean, look, I understand you coming to your teammates' defense. I got that.
Uh-huh.
You know, man, when Rudy Gobert was up on the door and he came up and grabbed him, pulled him off. I got that part. But the rest of it, though, man.
What about when he punched his teammate? What about that? What about that?
Well, that's when he was starting to unravel. You know, yeah. He ain't really. Draymond, I think the pressure got to him.
This is too much. Did you see what Steph Curry almost cried one game when he got ejected?
You leaving us out there by ourselves, Draymond.
Because they done talked to him over and over. It's like, man, what do I say to this guy? Yeah. I mean, man, but dude, I don't. Draymond's a great dude. Man. I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
We're gonna see what happens in the East tonight. So let's go ahead, Shirley.
All right, thank you, Junior. Excuse me. Coming up at the top of the hour, what do you do when a 28-year-old woman wants to date your 22-year-old son? We'll talk about it right after this.
That's my boy.
You're listening.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, this is from Tam in Jacksonville. Tam says, my son is a senior in college and his girlfriend is 28 years old. He had the nerve to bring her to my house and she said she wanted to talk to me woman to woman. I was hot. She told me that my son will be moving in with her and her 7-year-old son. I told her that she only wants to date my son because he might go to the major leagues in baseball. There's no way my 22-year-old son is her soulmate. My son has his whole life ahead of him. So how do I get him away from this grown woman? Is this situation out of my hands?
Yeah. You can't do nothing.
Yeah. There's nothing you can do.
It's gone.
Oh, she done put that 22? Thing on that boy. That boy, yeah. There you go.
What?
There ain't nothing you can do. No. She done put it on him. She done put it on him.
Oh, yeah.
She done put it on him.
Yeah. He over there getting that 7-year-old ready for school and everything. Boy,
oh, man.
I want to talk to your mom.
He down there got that boy throwing that baseball. Damn, as good as him by now.
Oh.
Yeah, she looking at two major league prospects, your son and her son. Yeah.
So there's yeah, lady, the mom
I, yeah,
do.
Lady, I don't even know how you, you don't even understand. That boy over there, he can't believe, he gone.
There's nothing the mom can do at this point.
Not a damn thing.
That's too late.
He believed that's her soulmate, too. He believed that, too.
You all are thinking back, obviously, when you were 22.
Man.
And somebody 28?
Yeah, an older woman.
At 22, you know how many soulmates I had?
How many soulmates, huh?
Oh, man. Oh,
there's nothing mom can do. All right.
Yeah.
No.
She already doesn't like this young woman, though. She doesn't like her at all.
Yeah. Yeah, let me talk to you woman to woman.
Yeah, what?
I'm talking to
I got a son, you got a son. Let's just chop it up. Listen, all right. Mama. This is what it's going to be. I know you're tripping, but this is what's going to be all right.
Yeah. All right. We have time for another one, Steve. This one's from Fu Quay in Salisbury, who says, I got home from work and my wife told me that my buddy stopped by and dropped off some cigars for me. He called me, but I missed his call. My wife said he'd be back. He was going to get her some soup from Panera because she told him she wasn't feeling well. He brought the soup back, and I met him at the back door and told him thanks, but I wasn't in the mood to entertain. He said he could sense I had an attitude, and he was right. He said he was being a good friend to us both. Did I overreact? Was he just being nice?
Yeah, I think you did, though.
Yeah.
Because let me explain something to you. Okay. Your wife, the one told him she was sick. Hey, let me go down here and get you some soup. All the dude did, he trying to be your homie.
And he called
you didn't come in the house and you was, he didn't come in the house and spoon feed her the soup. He just so dropped it off.
You'd be okay with this if a man brought your wife some soup and you'd be okay with it?
Well, my homies, the dudes that I know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they bought that life.
That friend.
Wonder love, I'm take care. Yeah, my dudes is about that life. Now, yeah. If we ain't
I'm
real friends,
uh-huh.
Well, I mean, you know, look, but see,
you don't want to fight
I'm
him.
Not gonna get into that position though, because all this whining about you being sick and all this here, you know.
And you whine to me. You don't be whining on nobody else.
That's what the problem is.
See, I'm surprised at your answers. I
no,
really
that's like my Steve, problem is with not, the wife, though.
Yeah. Huh?
I ain't feeling good. Can you help me? That's going to be my problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you spoon feed my wife when I walk in there, that's y'all last supper, though. That's y'all last supper.
But she's sick.
Yeah, you're going to be right up there on
sick.
That picture with Jesus now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you can Photoshop your ass in that photo.
Jack, that's more like the Steve I know.
At the end of the
and
table.
Charles.
Yeah.
Is that Charles at the end of the table?
Yeah.
Coming up at 20 minutes after, we'll have more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Well, April showers bring May flowers, and May flowers bring pollen. So allergy sufferers are usually stuck indoors. Now, if you don't like to suffer through pollen season, you can move to Buffalo, New York. Why not? Buffalo, New York tops the U.S. News and World Report's list of the best cities for allergy sufferers. Pollen levels are lowest and air quality is best in Buffalo. So we got to say a shout out to our Buffalo family while we're at it on Power 93.7 WBLK. Are you guys affected
by? Buffalo. I love Buffalo.
Oh, I've never been there, but I've known good people.
Yeah, my father.
So you have any allergies or anything?
Is from Buffalo.
I do. I got it bad. I got it. When pollen season comes, I'm the worst, man. I can't function.
I've been sneezing more.
But okay, so we moved to Buffalo in
like
the spring.
You don't like pollen, you don't like blood, you don't like lightning, it ain't nothing.
Come on, Tommy.
Hey.
You like pollen, Steve? What?
Nobody like pollen.
Everything right. Wrong.
So I have a question.
Yes,
so
Carla.
So if we moved to Buffalo in the spring, what are we going to do in the winter? We going to bounce.
Oh, I got
out.
I got to go.
We cannot.
We're gonna fly south.
It's like follow the birds. Chicago, but follow the birds. Chicago winters.
I gotta go. It's gonna be 45 Friday. I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, you ain't not gonna make it.
See you in May.
But I love Buffalo.
All right, we'll have more.
Wings.
Oh yeah, buffalo wings, right?
Yeah.
More of the Steve Harvey Morning Show coming up at 33 minutes after the hour. We'll play a round of Would You Rather right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
It's time for a round of Would You Rather. Would you rather a fried bologna sandwich or sardines and crackers? Those are your choices.
Fried bologna sandwich.
Or sardines and
straight
crackers.
Straight up in the stop six, Fort Worth, baby. Go on there, tummy.
What?
Oh, we're coming straight out of Stop 6, Fort Worth. You know how we do it over there.
What?
Barbecue fried bologna sandwich. Bolo!
Oh, the bolo.
I never had one.
Steve, I never had one.
I have
one of the sheer great joys of life.
So it's fried bologna and barbecue. What?
Yeah, you had them sardines. I did enough of that. I swore them off at my daddy's. I used to work with my father construction. Uh-huh. That was one of his. One of our lunches was the sardines and the crackers with the mustard. That's it. Oh. I had it worked for my lunch break for this.
That's why you enjoy fine dining to this trifling, day.
Yeah.
Those sardines was trifling, bro.
But you... But what? How? What's the bologna sandwich about? The fried?
Oh, hey.
What you mean? What is about?
I mean, yeah. You just fried it's bread and barbecue sauce. That's it.
You ain't never fried it and poked that hole in the middle. You ain't never
done that. Oh, growing up.
She's talking about the one with the barbecue sauce.
Yeah, the bowl.
I've never had barbecue sauce on a fried.
No, I've never had that. No.
What?
But I've had fried bologna sandwiches, but not
surprise.
Why are you mad though? They getting upset with them.
Bougie-ness of this show.
Sorry. All right, we're moving on. Would you rather jet ski at 75 miles per hour or zip line over the Grand Canyon? Which
one? Oh, hell no.
So jet ski and a zip line.
Oh, hell no. I'm not zipping.
You know how long that takes to get across there?
How many times are we on death thoughts? And by the time I get across there, I'll be dead.
Because you'll faint.
My whole lifeless body just on the zip line, just stretched out. Ain't no life in it. What happened to Steve? He died about halfway.
Through the course.
All right, would you rather have sex or can't make any noise? Or would you rather curse the entire time?
Oh. Curse the entire time doing sex?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care which one it is. As long as I'm having it, I'm fine. I don't care.
It's just lying on her. Like
quietly.
Talking or not talking.
Well, I've
loudly.
Never done A, so I don't know.
Oh, you've never done quiet? You've never done it quietly?
You ain't never had to have quiet sex? Waking what? People up?
I can't make no damn statements.
Nothing.
You so can get through
kids
this quietly.
Were little, you were in that holler.
All my kids have been in therapy.
All right.
Carrying on.
All that noise. Mama, Daddy, what's wrong? Come on. Last break of the day coming up. And we'll close out the show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
All right, guys, here we are. Last break of the day on this Wednesday. It's been a good day. Good day. And Steve, before we get out of here, we have one more CLO for you. This person needs your help. This is April in Richmond.
Maybe it could turn into closing remarks. Depends on how good it is. If not, I'm sure Junior will have another inquisitive question.
All right. This is April in Richmond. April writes, I had sex twice with a married guy and he will not leave me alone. I met him when I was on vacation in New York. That was 3 years ago and I haven't seen him since then. He won't stop texting and sending flowers. Should I give in and see him or not? She needs your help.
Mm. Okay, Junior, get your question ready.
Okay.
I promise you this is not a
clue. This is not going to take long. Gotcha.
I really don't care what you do. Once again, this is another example of the new norm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're ignoring the fact that, okay, is he married or she married?
He's married.
He's married.
Mm-hmm.
You met him. You had sex with him. He won't stop calling. Should I contact him and give in? I don't care what you do. Really, I mean, you know, y'all, come on now. You can't ask us to co-sign this mess. Mm-mm, mm-mm. I understand. Look, consensual sex is consensual sex. You can do anything you want to do. But in the words of my father-in-law, just because you can do something don't mean you should. And if that ain't a true statement, I don't know what it is. Now, you can go and see this man, but where you going, though? It ain't going to make it right. It ain't going to make it okay. That don't mean there ain't no risk involved. It just, so all these new norms people got, I just, man. But they act like it's par for the course. So, Junior, what's your question, man?
Yeah, you know what, let me talk about this, You know, the minute you tell somebody no, the minute you can't do something for them and you choose not to do it, you know, it's like they just want to cut you off. They cut you off. But how do you know when you need to cut people off?
Right then.
Well, then, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I wish you would ask me for something. Then I don't come through with it. Then you cut me off. Okay, cool. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. But see, it goes back to something I learned a long time ago, which was a great closing remark for me. I didn't understand what this guy had taught me. It's a guy that used to work for me. And he taught me something. And then he really taught me something. And the statement he made to me, and I didn't understand it at the time, but he said, loyalty has an expiration date. And I went, well, that don't sound cool. Because if I'm loyal, I'm loyal to the end. But the lesson he was about to teach me, and he taught it to me well, was sometimes we are loyal to people whose loyalty to us has went away quite some time ago. How many times have you been loyal to somebody who, unbeknownst to you, had stopped being loyal to you? But you being the person that you are, you remain loyal to them, not realizing that you were being loyal to a person who was no longer loyal to you. And then he taught this lesson to me because I was not understanding that. But then he turned around and he showed me exactly what he meant by that. And it was one of my great lessons in life because I was employing him and keeping him around me and allowing him to exist when he was all about himself. He was just all about him. He was trying to do things on the side. You know, he even told somebody one time, hey, if you want to meet with Steve, that's $10,000. What? Who do that? I've never in my life told somebody they got to pay me some money to talk to me. That man, what are you talking about? I mean, it was just all types of deals. And so finally what I had to learn was the reason he told me that and the reason he shared it with me because God needed me to learn this lesson, that loyalty does have an expiration date, that sometimes you being the good person, the bigger person, the better person, you stay loyal to people who have long ago stopped being loyal to you. And it caused me to take inventory. I used to do it every 6 months, but I've learned I've had to tighten that down. So every 60 days, I do a inventory check. I kind of go through my phones and my emails, and I make sure that everybody who can call me and touch base with me is a person who's pulling for me, cheering for me, or praying for me. And that's it. And if you're not one of those people, I block you. Now, if you're a business person, you're not that close to me, you may have my number because we're doing business. That's another thing. But I block people who are not pulling for me, cheering for me, or praying for me. And I just don't. I don't have the time for that. I don't have the time for small remedial relationships. I just don't have that kind of time. So I take inventory every 60 days to go through my phone and my emails to make sure that the people who are surrounding my life are worth my time. Because if they're not, their loyalty to you will expire right in front of your face, but usually behind your back. Those are my closing remarks. Y'all have a great one today. Hey, y'all, talk to God today. He would absolutely love to hear from you. Okay, y'all do that. Y'all stay in peace, man. I'm up out of here. Oh, man.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit SteveHarveyFM.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.